Good morning or good afternoon, whenever you are, or even good evening, whenever you are listening to this service today, to this short service. We have two readings for you and a message, including an opening and closing prayer. If you are not accustomed to joining with us in the Scots Kirk Lausanne, my name is Gillian and I'm the minister here. You are able to come along on a Sunday now, which is absolutely great, but if you want to simply remain at home, then there will be a message for each Sunday together with the readings. Our readings today come from the Gospel of John and the first letter of John, and James will read them for us now.
The first reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 14 to 16. The Word became a human being and, full of grace and truth, lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory which he received as the Father's only Son. John spoke about him. He cried out, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'He comes after me, but he is greater than I am, because he existed before I was born.' Out of the fullness of his grace he has blessed us all, giving us one blessing after another. God gave the law through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only Son, who is the same as God and is at the Father's side, he has made him known." The second reading comes from the first letter of John, reading from the beginning. "We write to you about the Word of life, which has existed from the very beginning. We have heard it, and we have seen it with our eyes. Yes, we have seen it, and our hands have touched it. When this life became visible, we saw it. So we speak of it and tell you about the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made known to us. What we have seen and heard, we announce to you also, so that you will join with us in the fellowship that we have with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this in order that our joy may be complete."
We begin our message today with a prayer, reminding us as we seek understanding that words are simply not enough, but they're all that we have for now. Let us pray. You for whom we all wait, unknown, unheard, invisible, having a thousand names and none, reach towards us as we reach out to you, and be known in the encounter, heard in the stillness, and named fleetingly. And then enable us to let go again of the knowing, the hearing, the glimpsing, and the naming, content to be poor in spirit and to travel light, emptied of all desire to bind, restrain, or define you, seeking always to be attentive to you in the present moment, where you are lively and new and always surprising. Amen. The first thing about our reading from 1 John is to remember that it was and is a letter. So if the postman brings you a letter, what is the first thing you want to know about it? Well, yes, who is it from? And so you take it out of its envelope and read the last bit that tells you who it's from. Is that enough? No, of course not. Well, you begin to read, and the first thing you see is the address at the top of the page. Where is the person who wrote it writing from? And what was the date? When and where was the letter written? And then you carry on reading it because you want to know why they wrote the letter. What was its purpose? Is it a bill? Is it a love letter? Is it full of information? So first of all, who was John? Who was the person who wrote this letter? Well, it's likely that it was the same John who wrote the Gospel of John. So that was John, son of Zebedee, brother of James, and business partner of Peter and Andrew. And so the writer of this letter was one of the 12 disciples. He was living in Ephesus, present-day Turkey, at the time of writing, and was getting on in years. John, James, and Peter were effectively the inner circle of the disciples. They were the ones who saw Jesus transfigured, who saw him raise Jairus' daughter, and who were near him at the Garden of Gethsemane when he was arrested. And John, remember, was the one that Jesus committed the care of his mother to when he was dying. And so basically, John was about as close to Jesus as you could possibly get. For that reason alone, this is a very important letter. Now, it's important too to realise that John is getting very old by now, and he probably had a scribe to write down what he wanted to say to the people in the young local Christian church in Ephesus. It was urgent. He wanted to get his letter written before he died. So we know who was writing the letter, and we know who he was sending it to. But what was he trying to say, and why? Well, the church was young and still finding its way. However, it had been around long enough to be getting into a bit of hot water about things. In fact, they had become a bit too big for their boots. They had decided in Ephesus that they were pretty clever and that they knew all about the truth. They had some intellectual types within their number who were interested in adding in some interesting philosophies from around about. And they were keen to make Jesus into some sort of super spiritual guru. In fact, some of them were even denying that he'd been really human at all. It's a bit like those who deny that the Holocaust ever happened despite being surrounded by the evidence of what went on at that terrible time. John wanted to tell everyone what he knew personally to be the truth. Before he died, he wanted to be sure they were on the right lines. He had known Jesus, and he knew without a doubt that he'd been a man, a real man, a human being in every possible way. What is it that makes someone human? Well, there's an interesting kind of sci-fi series that you can watch on some of those platforms like Amazon Prime and Netflix called Humans. And it's about a world not too much further in the future than us today. A world where there are what they call synths, short for synthetic. They walk like humans, they talk, they can carry out all kinds of tasks, all the things that we find tedious, and they can provide us with company. Company that will do whatever we ask of them, but they are not human. They don't eat, they don't have emotions, they aren't born, they can't be hurt, and they don't die. John had been with Jesus. He'd eaten with him many times. He'd listened to his teaching. He'd seen his miracles. He'd seen the amazing transfiguration on the mountaintop where God revealed Jesus as his son. He'd seen Jesus raise people from the dead. He'd seen him cry. And he'd seen him hurt and broken. And worst of all, he'd seen him die. And heard him asking him, John, to take care of his mother. And he knew Jesus had been born. He knew Jesus' mother, and his mother was with him throughout his life, always in the background, but there nevertheless. John's purpose in writing the letter was to remind the people of the young church that Jesus was not simply a spirit. He had lived and died as a human being. Now that's really important for each one of us because it's what brings us back here again and again, week by week, and year by year. It is the big deal of Christianity. The big deal is that our Saviour was here. He knows what it's like to be a dependent child and to have to do as you are told. He knows what it's like to work for a living. He knows what it's like to live in difficult and dangerous political times. He knows what it's like to have a family. He knows what it's like to have fun at a wedding and drink wine and celebrate. He knows how lovely it is to share a meal with friends, to sit up talking into the night. He knows what it's like to love and to lose someone. He knows what it feels like to be let down badly by someone we love. He knows what it's like to be sad and hurt and afraid and in pain. And he knows what it's like to die. The whole of our Old Testament is a catalogue of to-ing and fro-ing. God trying to get his people to understand him and them not getting it. Them appealing to him and him trying to help, but them turning their backs on him. It's a bit like one of these discussions you have with a young person. You get the picture? I want to do such and such. And the parent says, well, you can't because it's not good for you. But why? Says the child. Just because. Anyway, you wouldn't understand. Just obey me, says the parent. It's for your own good. No, says our recalcitrant young person, because I'm going to do it anyway. In the end, the only way for God to get the message across was to send Jesus, the personification of himself, the Word. The Word which existed before time and now had come in the form of a little baby who would become Jesus, the Christ. Okay, so we know who wrote the letter, from where and to whom, and we know why John wrote the letter. We know that it's important because it wouldn't have been included in our library of biblical books if it wasn't important. John wanted to emphasize that Jesus was the Word of God in human flesh. Why was that so important for us to know and believe? Well, there are, of course, lots of reasons, but one very important reason is that of reassurance. Just before I went off to Scotland to see my family, I conducted a funeral. I've conducted many, many of these in my time in ministry, and each time I say these words, in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life, in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life. I have said these words believing them to be absolutely true because I know that Jesus survived death to return and show us that God has sovereignty over life and death and that death is not the end. I know that because there were witnesses, intelligent and learned witnesses, who were there and have testified to the fact. So I know that in my head, but I know it too in my heart. And John's emphasis on the spiritual goes some way to explain how that all works. We will learn more about John's letter next week and see what else he has to tell us. And so you for whom we wait, unknown, unheard, invisible, having 1,000 names and none, reach towards us as we have reached towards you and remain with us in the present moment and each one that follows. Amen. And now a blessing. May God give you light to guide you, courage to support you, and love to unite you, now and evermore. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with each one of you, now and always. Amen.